Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my brothers and sisters. This is Bishop Thomas Henry, and today you are listening to the Apostolic Voice. Today I have a topic that some people consider to be a little bit controversial, and it is the topic of tithing. And we asked the question, and we're going to ask several questions today. Is tithing for the church? And we want to examine that. We want to look at it. We want to look at what the Bible says. We may have to make this a topic that we look at it from several different angles and several different points of view. But I believe this will be a blessing to each and every one of you as we look at this particular topic and look at a few verses in the Bible. We're going to ask a few questions. Now, I do understand that some of our television ministers and preachers have backed away from the tithe. I understand that some of them have went on to say that the tithing is no longer for today and what have you, but I think we need to have an objective look at the tithe and understand why God gave it, whether it was just centered on the law or whether it was beyond the law. And so we want to talk about that, we want to look at that, and we want to see how this applies to each and every one of us in the body of Christ. That being said, God bless you, and welcome to the Apostolic Voice. First of all, let's look at this one particular verse. Let's start with this. I want to start with this phrase and then read this verse. The tithe was never to be legalistic. I said it again. The tithe was never to be legalistic. Tithing was built into the foundation of Israel's way of life. The tithe was even before the law. The tithe, the roots of the tithe can be found in the book of Genesis. When God tells them in the book of Genesis to eat of every tree in the garden except for one. That one tree, that one thing that God said is sacred unto me, and don't you touch it. You can take care of the tree, but you can't eat from that tree. Give me one tree out of every tree in his garden. And that's what tithing says. God says it's not legalistic, but it's a recognition that all that we have come from God. And all that we are, we owe it to him. We owe him everything that we are. We owe him. Not in a legalistic manner, but in a sense of saying, God, I thank you. I'm giving back to you to say thank you. Thank you for letting me have this. Thank you for allowing me to do this. Thank you for allowing me to do that. And so the tithe is not an act of legalism. Well, bless his name. The tithe is an act of grace. Lord have mercy. I know they're going to mess up a few theology, but we're going to go on with this train today and push forward. Leviticus 27:30 says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil and fruit from the trees, belong to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Interesting. A tithe of everything from the land, whether it's grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, everything belongs to the Lord. Everything from the Lord. Everything from the land. Everything from the land. We get our gold and bronze and silver that we make our money from the land. We get our money is made from fibers and from trees and from cotton and what have you. It's not paper from trees, but it's actually most of our money is made from the cotton that is grown in cotton fields. So everything from the land, whether it's grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and is holy to the Lord. So the tithe literally means a tenth, but the tithe does not always mean a tenth in every scripture that it shows up at. Lord have mercy, that's good right there. Because there are a lot of people that will argue up and down, up and down, down and up, and every which other way. The tithe is a tenth. And but what they failed to realize that there was three biblical tithes in Scripture. Can I say it again? There are three biblical tithes in Scripture. Let me say that one more time, because I know I'm messing up some of y'all theology already. And under the law, we're not even talking about the pre-law tithes yet, but under the law, there was three tithes, and not all of those tithes were 10%. When you add those three different tithes up together, you come up with something like 23%. There are three different tithes in Scripture. You have a tithe that you tied to the Levites. The Levites, in turn, gave a tenth of their tithe to the priests. You have a tithe that went to the temple to finance the religious program, national religious program, which is the festival, those seven festivals that the Jews had each year, from Purim and Passover and Pentecost and Yom Kippur and Tabernacles and all those different feasts. These feasts was financed by the tithe. Not only that, but that it was also tithe that was taken to give to the aliens, that were given to the orphans, that was given to the widows, that was given to the poor Levites. There was a tithe that was given to the poor as well, those who were less fortunate, those who were foreigners, those who was orphans, those that were widows, those that was poor. The poor clergy was giving a tithe a third tithe. So that means the second tithe. In some year you didn't give the second tithe. In some year you took the second tithe, added another portion to it, so that you came up with at least 13%, and that 13% every third year and every sixth year went to the poor, went to the poor Levites, went to the widows, went to the orphans, went to the foreigners. Excuse me, that is Deuteronomy chapter 14. And so then you got three different tithes that are mentioned in Scripture, three different tithes. Under the law, but before the law, let's go before the law. I mentioned the book of Genesis. Before we really get into the real crux of this whole discussion today, I mentioned the book of Genesis because the first question we ask under this topic is tithing for the church. Is the tithe part of the law, or is it beyond the law? Does it precede the law, and does it come after the law? There is a tithe before the law. Not only do we find the seeds of it in the book of Genesis, when God says, I have placed two trees in the middle of the garden. You can tend all these trees, but you can't eat the fruit of one of them. That was it was the precursor to the tithe. So the tithe is not legalistic. It's an act of grace. Because what you're saying with the tithe, God, I thank you for what you have given me, and I'm going to return a portion of what you have given me back to you, because all is yours to begin with. All that I have belong to you. And such as I have, God, I give back to you. So the tithe, it just is more than a legalistic act that we do. The tithe is more than legalism. The tithe is an act of grace. It is an act of grace. Lord, have mercy. I feel that. It is an act of grace. You ought to say that with me if you're listening to me. The tithe is an act of grace. I know people may not agree with that, and I'm not bothered by that, because I understand the Scripture is that the tithe precedes the law. The tithe was incorporated into the law, and then Jesus called who's the prototype of him is Melchizedek, who comes before the law. Abraham tied to him. This is good. I promise you, this is good. Let me hit this kind of real quick. Give you the Scripture, give you the foundation, and then we're gonna keep on trucking. In the book of Hebrews, in the book of Genesis, 14 to 20, the Bible says that Abraham meet Melchizedek, who is a Christ-like figure in the Old Testament. Some people say he was Christ. I disagree with that. I believe Melchizedek was a real person. I believe more than likely he was sham. I do not believe he was Christ in a pre-incarnational state, because the phrase born without mother and father, without genealogy, is specific. The reason why there's a reason why the text mentioned those points, because in order to be a Levite, in order to receive tithes as a Levite, you must be of the genealogy of Levi. You must have a father and mother who was a part of the tribe of Levi to be a Levite. Are you hearing me? So then he says that we don't know who his father, we don't know who Melchizedek's father or who his mother was. He has lived so long. He's almost an ethereal figure because he has lived so long. We don't even know where he comes from. And in the scripture, we're not told all of that. So since we're not told of that, it seems like he does not have a father and he does not have a mother. It didn't say he did not have one, but he appears, because the word, when it talks about him being like Christ, it's like unto. It didn't say he was. He said he was like unto. And so if that be the case, Abraham gave, and see, this is good here, because many people ignore this scripture and only focus on the Levitical law and not on the pre-law reference of the tithe. And the pre-law reference of the tithe says that when Abraham came to the king of Salem, which is Melchizedek, Melchizedek means king of righteousness, he gives him a tithe of all the spoils and every bit of the property that belong unto the kings. Hell bless his name, that have been defeated. And so here now we find that Abraham is tithing the spoils from the war. That means that if those soldiers had silver and gold, he gave a portion of that. If they had food and substance, he gave a portion of that. If they had animals, he gave a portion of that. And since he had conquered them, whatever they own became his, and he gave a portion of that. And so Abraham did not tithe just animals and vegetation. The scripture said that he gave the spoils and the property in Genesis chapter 14, verse 20. So here we see that tithing is more than animals and vegetation. You must also remember when Israel first given the tithing law. And see, many people take this with, they try to show with gold and stuff. That you got to realize, they have not established a currency yet, because they have not set up in Israel yet. Moses give them the commandments, the law by tithing, before they even get to the promised land and are able to set up a kingdom so that they can issue a currency. Let's go on to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 through verse 10. Melchizedek, the king of Salem and priest of God the Most High, he met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of priests, without father, mother, without genealogy. Remember I told you, it's mentioning these facts to show that Abraham tied unto him, even though he was not of the lineage of Levi. He was not a part of those who could be priests and who the law says should be the one who are collecting the tithe. So it's showing us that Jesus has a priesthood that supersedes the Levitical priesthood, who are all descendants from Abraham's son, Levi. Are you hearing me? Let's continue to read the text. The text says, just think how great he was. This is talking about, let me finish reading. Well, let's go on. How great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. The plunder here is not just animals and vegetation. Now, the law requires that the descendant of Levi, who became priest, to collect the tenth from the people, that is, their brothers, even though their brothers are descendants for Abraham. This man, however, did not trace his descendants. See, many people read that text and try to make him Jesus and miss the whole thrust of the text. The text is about proving that Melchizedek accepted tithes, though he was not a descendant of Levi, and Jesus, who is not a descendant of Levi, and therefore do not possess the Aaronic priesthood, but have a priesthood greater than the Aaronic priesthood, also is able to collect a tithe. Lord have mercy. Without a doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. Even in one sense, the tenth is collected by men who die. But in the other case, by him who is declared to be living. One might even say that Levi, who collected the tenth, paid the tenth through Abraham before the law. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Before the law, they paid a tenth through Abraham to Melchizedek. When Melchizedek and Abraham met, Levi was still in the body of his ancestor. This text boldly tells us that Jesus, who Melchizedek is the prototype, is still declared to be living, just like it is assumed that Melchizedek is still to be living, and that Levi paid a tithe through Abraham to Melchizedek before the law. Are you hearing me? So the Son of Man, Son of God, who is Jesus, who remains a priest forever according to the scripture, after the order of Melchizedek, if Melchizedek can receive a tithe, then Jesus can receive a tithe today as well. So if this is the case, why do folks have a problem with tithing today? I believe the reason, one reason why, and we discussed that a lot, is that they have a problem is that we tend to do something that the New Testament does not do. We tend to make tithing an act of legalism instead of an act of grace. I'll say that again. We make tithing an act of legalism instead of an act of grace. Oh, bless his name, because we tend to accentuate those curses that are spoken of in the book of Leviticus when he says you're cursed with a curse and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Every one of us knows that if you misuse your tithe, if you misuse your money, according to the Bible, there will be holes in your pockets. Doesn't mean God is cursing you, because remember, Jesus nailed all curses to the tree. But by the same token, there are consequences to not obeying God. For example, if you get pregnant outside of wedlock, God will forgive you of that sin, but that still won't stop the baby from coming. Same way, if you do not give, because in order to get blessed, you must give. God gave his greatest gift, and that was his son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible called it the unspeakable gift, the King James word, unspeakable. Literally, the words cannot describe the very gift that God has given us in his son, Jesus Christ. So if that be the case, if God gave, why then can't we give? Because in order for you to give, you must give. It's the law of reciprocity here. So then, let's move on, because I don't want to get tied up in this one point. What was the tithe? The tithe, there are three tithes, as I said. We're not even talking about the Abrahamic tithe that he gave to Melchizedek, which was a tenth. But the tithe that you gave to the Levites and the Levite gave to the priest was a tenth. But that was not the only tithe. That tithe they gave was animals and produce. That tithe, then the second tithe, somebody said the second tithe, was a tithe that was given, which was, I believe it was also a tenth, if I'm not mistaken, that was given to the temple at certain parts, certain times during the year. You will bring another tithe to the temple. Remember, the Bible says in the Old Testament, never come before the Lord without an offering. You bring your temple tithe to the temple for the sacrifices, for those great feasts that were celebrated in Jerusalem. But the Bible says this, if it would become a problem for you to bring the tithe from wherever you stayed at to Jerusalem, you could redeem the tithe for money. And you could take that money and buy wine and other things and celebrate at your home, or you can take it and bring come to Jerusalem and still buy wine, not grape juice, wine. We're not going to debate that. Just going to throw that out there. And you can celebrate the feast with the wine that you bought and the other things that you bought and make merry in the city of Jerusalem or in your hometown to celebrate the feast. Then you have the third tithe that is about 13% really. It's the second tithe plus the third plus the fourth tithe put together, which is like 3.5 or 5%. You add that to the other 10%, and now you got a fourth tithe, which in the third year, in the sixth year, you didn't give to the temple. You gave up what you do give to the temple, but what they did is they gave up, they gave what was given to them in the third and the sixth year to the poor, to the widows, to the orphans, to the foreigners, to those who did not have, to those poor Levites who did not have substance and property. They gave to them. So the tithe was meant to take care of the church, to take care of the clergy, to take care of those that were in need. Now, my question is this, before I even go on any farther. Why do the church folks today think that they do not, that they are exempt from doing less than what God commanded Israel to do in the Old Testament? I know there are some that would venture to say, well, the Jews today don't collect tithe because this, that, and the third. Well, the Jews also reject Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Next question. Our example is in the New Testament. Paul, when he speaks in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I believe, he speaks of proportional giving. The only proportional giving that we know of in Scripture is the tithe. Now, see, these people that argue against the tithe, they really do need to read Acts chapter 2. Because if you're going to say we don't need to tithe today, then you need to give up everything. Because the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, they gave up everything. Before the church got as organized as it did during the time of Paul and Peter and their exploits in the first primitive church, the Bible said they gave everything because what? Everything belongs to God anyway. And the tithe acknowledges that everything belongs to God and that you give God back a portion and he blesses the rest. Because the Bible says in the book of Corinthians that God blesses a cheerful and hilarious, crazy, rambunctious giver. So, why do we think we got to do anything less? Because if you don't want to give a tenth, then give everything. I'll say it again. If you don't want to give a tenth, then give everything. Because all of it belongs to God anyway. It's not yours. You're just a caretaker. You're just a trustee of what he has given to you. Now, let's see if I covered everything here today. Does the tithe just belong to the Levites? No. Because we have the poor getting the tithe. We have the widows getting the tithe. We have the orphans getting the tithe. We have the poor Levites getting the tithe. So the tithe, and not only that, the tithe also went to the temple to help finance those seven Jewish festivals that was happening throughout the year. So no, the tithe did not just belong to the Levites and to the priests. Matter of fact, God said, bring ye all the tithes and offerings into my storehouse so that my house, there may be meat in my house. And prove me here, which says the Lord, that I will pour you, open up the windows of heaven and pour you, watch this, a blessing. Lord bless his name. So that you will not have room enough to receive. He didn't say blessings with an S, but he says a blessing. Because why? You only need one thing to happen in your life that will change your life forever. You only need one thing. If you're a Ray Kroc, all you need is to happen upon the McDonald's brothers in Berkeley, California, and you find you them in a hamburger joint, and you're trying to sell them a shake machine, but you realize that what they have will make you more money than your shake machine job. And so you buy their restaurant from them, and the rest is history, because now McDonald's are on six of the seven continents of this world. If you are Colonel Sanders, you find that a blessing, which is 11 herbs and spices, and you go and you turn that into a KFC that is in every country of the world. If you are the football player in Florida, you take your charcoal grill idea and you create what you call Burger King. Are you hearing me today? If you're Wendy's, Dave Thomas, you work with a man called Colonel Sanders, and you take your a blessing, your idea, and make it into your Wendy's restaurant. What I'm saying, God will give you a blessing. And every one of the other things that happen in your life will be predicated upon what you do with that A blessing. But he gives that to people who don't mind giving, who have a heart to give, a mind to give, a desire to give. Oh, bless his name. So the tithe was not just given to the Levites, but it was given to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, the king of righteousness, prefigures Christ in the Old Testament. And our Christ, our Jesus, who is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, is worthy of a tithe just like Melchizedek was in the Old Testament. But we don't teach a legalistic tithe. We teach a tithe based on grace. For the psalmist said, how much do I owe the Lord for all of his blessings? I don't know about you, but we all owe him. We owe him too much not to do anything. Not to do anything. We owe God too much. We owe him our life. We owe him our strength. We owe him our being. With all that we are and ever hope to be, we owe it all to him. And so since we owe it all to him, it is right that we give back him, give him a portion back. It is said that John Wesley, when he first started tithing, he was given 10% and using 90%. It is said by the time he died that he was given 90% and living off the 10%. Why? Because you cannot beat God's giving, no matter how you try. Because the more you give, the more he gives back to you. Oh, bless his name. Tithing and giving is one of the areas that God said, prove me, test me, try me, and see that I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing, not blessing with an S, but a blessing that will cause your storehouse to be so filled it'll take four generations for you to comprehend the depth and the width and the height, oh, bless his name, of the blessing that God will put in your life. Oh, bless his name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, bless his name. Hiya. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Yes, yes, yes. Bless his name. Hallelujah. For the earth is the Lord. Psalms 24:1 says, and the fullness thereof, and the world, and they that dwell therein, all belongs to him. And since it all belongs to him, we should at least honor him with a portion. That's why the Bible says, based on how what you receive, give God a proportion of what you have, the book of Corinthians said, based on what you have received. So if you got much, the portion should be much. If you got little, the portion should be little. But God should be blessed. His name should be praised. Hallelujah. That means that if you're a part of a church, you should tithe into that church. That church and that pastor should tithe into their bishop or episcopal authority. And then that bishop tied back into the organization so the money is still moving and going and flowing, because money is currency. And it's only alive when it's flowing. But it's stagnant when it's not moving. I promise you, I'm about out of time here. I'm about out of time. But I bless God today, because giving is right. And giving unto the Lord, unto the Lord, is right. I don't care what anybody tell you. God blesses those who give. He blesses those who give. Now, I may have to do a part two, because there are people the Bible had exempt from tithing because they didn't have. You never see a requirement for the poor to tithe, but the poor did give an offering. That's a whole different story. God bless you. For the past 30 minutes, you have been listening to Bishop Thomas Henry, and I have been on this program we call the Apostolic Voice. I pray that this program has blessed you today. I pray that it will cause you to go out and bless your church, bless your man and woman of God. Hallelujah. Be to God. Sometime when you need a blessing, you ought to find your leaders and say, hey, I just want to bless you, because I'm looking for God to do something in my life. There are some things that I need released in my life. So I'm sowing into you so that I can get a release in my life. Oh, blessed. I remember a while back, I sold $200 into my bishop. And God flipped that thing and gave me a few thousand. I tell you, God will bless a giver. God bless you. I'm Bishop Thomas, and y'all have a great day.